Ireland Talks podcast with Kevin Byrne.
And it's Joe Lyons' push-button Siskin who's drawing away to land the first ever classic for Colin Keane and Joe Lyons. And it is the year of the classics for Colin Keane and Joe Lyons. Even so has won the Judgment Irish Oaks.
Hello, you're welcome to Ireland Talks podcast. On the podcast today, classic winning trainer Ger Lyons. Ger very kindly invited me out to his fantastic Glen Burnie stables just outside Trim in County Meath, where we sat down and had a chat. I began by asking Ger where he grew up and where his interest in horse racing started.
Born in Dublin, grew up in Clane, moved to Clane when I was 7. And my next door neighbour was Peter McCreary,
okay,
who was champion national hunt trainer. Now, back in them days, like, numbers weren't as big as they are now, so you could be champion. I think I'd stand corrected. I'm not sure he had 50 horses, but he definitely had 30 horses. So, but he was champion jumps trainer, daring run and good horses like that. And his sons were my pals, and one of the sons is William McCreary, who's one of the top trainers now at the moment. So we've just progressed from there. Like, horses became part of my life because literally it was across the road, like literally. You know, the paddock was beside my house and the yard was in front of the house, and it just became, now I'm a family of 8 kids, and Shane followed me, but none of the rest of them looked at horses, do you know? So, but for some reason it fascinated me and it became part of my life, and I knew very early on it was going to be a serious part of my life, and it's become a good part of my life.
Yeah, and you became a national hunt jockey.
Well, I had no interest in anything else other than being a jockey.
Okay.
You know, from way back, it was the when I seen the colours in his colour room, you know, I was just fascinated. I mean, sitting under the arm of the couch as a kid, you've heard stories of lads doing it. I did that. The only negative was Peter would never let us ride in pony races.
Okay.
Now, pony races back then was... It was a warned-off thing if you were caught...
Okay.
Messing and dabbling in that side of the thing, where, in my opinion, it's progressed so much over the years. It's now the greatest source of our jockeys.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't back then, but it should be now so accepted by our industry and not fawned on, or frowned on, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, the names are too numerous to mention that have come out of the pony. It's a great education and it's a great source of talent for us at the moment.
Okay.
Back in my day, I wasn't allowed next to near it, which was a negative.
And was that the authorities that didn't...
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, they frowned upon it.
Yeah, yeah. But back then, you weren't allowed to mingle with bookies or talk. You know what I mean? All of that was frowned on. I mean, it's only in recent years all of this has become so acceptable. Yeah. You know, jockeys getting sponsored, trainers getting sponsored by bookies.
Yeah.
It's just gone... It's about face, you know?
Do you agree with that yourself?
No, I don't.
No.
I totally don't agree with that. I think it's a terrible conflict of interest.
But yeah. And
maybe that's because I've never been offered sponsorship.
I'm sure you have.
it'd be. I mean, it depends on what numbers you hear mentioned, what's true and what's not true. But the numbers are crazy that you hear that being offered. Yeah. Anyway.
And did you, like, so obviously you're a national hunt jockey. You rode in the Grand National.
Yeah.
Was that, would you say, that was a sense of achievement when you did that?
It's, you're sitting on an aeroplane and you know possibly you're the only lad in the aeroplane who's done it and got round.
Yeah.
And that's all it is to me. I remember it was the sole purpose of my life.
Yeah.
But when I did it, I remember looking up into the stands thinking, what was that all about? It was such an anticlimax.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's extraordinary
because
it was
complete luck.
You would imagine that it was the other way around.
For others, maybe. For me, it was. For me, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was. I remember pulling up because I was badly injured prior to that, and I still was adamant on getting back to riding the National. I'm going to, you know, because the horse that injured me was third in the National.
Wow.
And I said, I'm going to do it. So in answer to your question, was it a sense of achievement? Probably yes. But... as long as there's 24 hours in a day, the only question you're ever answered is, do you ever ride in the National?
Yeah.
I ever asked.
I'm sure.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. And got around safely. Where did you finish?
9th or 12th. We got around.
Okay. Not bad.
And I made a bad mistake. I was travelling real well to Beecher second time. And I always went down the inside, and when I got to Beechers, I it was too late when I noticed the hedge. Okay. I went, oh shit. And back then there was a good drop there.
Yeah.
And on my outside was two loose horses. I couldn't move, so I had to jump it. And I went from travelling to winded.
Okay.
And all the winner, the second, the third, they were all around me. I have a picture of us all around each other jumping that fence. And I was travelling as well as any of them. And it was a horse that would have suited. I think he won a Topham after that.
Wow.
For Donald McCain. But he definitely ran well in a Topham. But I emptied thereafter.
Yeah.
And just got home. But
it's the unknown. You could have been. You don't know.
Oh, could have been, yeah. Would have been. But if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Yeah. Brendan Gray saying, I think, isn't it?
I don't know, but I've heard it enough times and it's true.
Yeah. And so, an injury put an end to the national hunt?
Not really.
Or did it not?
It not really. It put an end to a thrive.
Okay.
And then it stopped the momentum.
Yeah.
And in our game, if you're getting momentum up, you've got to keep it lit.
Yeah.
Now back then, there was two penny of us. You know, there was 10 of me in a yard.
Yeah.
Whereas they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it definitely put a stop to a thrive. And listen, truth be told, I had more. I didn't enjoy it after the injury.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I was thinking too much about it. And there's one very true saying in the sport that if you're a jump jockey and you're thinking about what can happen, you're in the wrong sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you need to.
So at what point then did you say, you know, I want to be a trainer? Or did you always want to be a trainer?
Probably unconsciously I did.
Okay.
Because I love the horse. And
yeah.
I love the training of a horse.
Yeah.
Probably young, and I always was like a sponge watching what's going on or interested in what's going on or not going on. You know what I'm saying? In a yard.
Yeah.
It was never, oh, I'm going to be a trainer.
Okay.
But I found it was a terrible void. Like, at the time, what do you do for a living? I'm a jockey. And then when I wasn't, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
I didn't know what I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was
kind of a no man's land.
Yeah, and I was dabbling at being a journalist and dabbling at, you know, I did a little bit with Cornelius Lyce in the BBC and,
yeah,
you know, I thought about things like that. But when we, you know, I remember moving home because I really wanted to come home, and we moved from, we found this place by accident. And look, as a, you know, it's part of the thing, what's meant for you won't go past you.
Yeah.
And there was a few stables here, and one thing led to another, and you have a horse, and then you have two horses, and you have three horses, and then you have four horses, and then boom, boom, boom. And then all of a sudden, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And here we are 30 years later, and it's working.
Extraordinary.
You know, so
that, so that started in 1994, Darren.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, around that, yeah.
And so you have 60 acres here.
It's on, the property is on a 60-acre sort of a square if you look from the sky down.
So you started small and built it up to a fantastic facility as it is now.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
And everything we've done with the view that it has to be 100% because I always, when I decided at what I was doing, I said, right, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be with the view that I'm going to get to the top of the ladder if I can.
Yeah.
It's not going to play at it.
And I've heard you say in previous interviews that, you know, the first 10 years of developing here at Glenburnie was probably the most difficult 10 years of your life in terms of, you know, your marriage. You were lucky to come out of it.
Yeah.
With your marriage, your own health was affected. It was that difficult.
Yeah, probably I didn't help myself. I was a man in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was traumatic. Good marriage behind me. I have a good woman there that lesser ones would have walked and had every reason to walk. It was. It's like everything else. I mean, if you're financially insecure, it puts a lot of burden on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So them things ease as they ease. You know, the problems ease as you get more successful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And always, and two, I mean, age as well.
Yeah.
I mean, experience.
Older, wiser.
Older, wiser, and take a breath. Yeah. And don't be in such a bloody rush. And,
yeah.
You know, but my biggest failing would have been that I wanted everything now. Like, yeah. You know,
why I'm impatient.
Oh, shocking. I'm getting better, but Jesus, not before time.
Yeah. And in them 10 years then, I'm sure you had many days where you said, I'm going to give up.
Every day, I'd say.
Yeah.
I would say every day.
So when you look at that now, how do you feel?
I have a good system here now that... I have a great system here now with great people. You know, my daughter is there. You know, everybody has a role to play and they take a lot of work off you.
Yeah.
And now I'm enjoying what I'm doing because I can train the horses and enjoy that. And the lads head off racing and
yeah.
Kerry deals with the owners. And
so the other strands of the business are being looked after.
The girls are dealing with the office.
Yeah.
And I'm doing what I like.
Yeah, exactly.
If that sounds...
Yeah.
You know, if that sounds selfish, sorry, but that's the way it is.
Oh, no,
but
absolutely.
I mean, I set it up that way. I could equally... not let them do their jobs and look over their shoulder and make life a misery for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's such an easy life now with them. Everybody does their job. It makes life so much more.
Which would mean you're a good delegator.
I'm very good at delegating, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Might be good at a lot of things, but I'm good at delegating.
Yeah.
But you learn to be good at delegating.
Yeah.
It's that or... You can make life as difficult as you want or as easy as you want. And thankfully... I've learned how to do that the right way. I'd say I'm a good delegator, yeah.
Yeah. So when you started training, did you find that the industry was welcoming and supportive?
Irrelevant, I'd say. This industry, no matter what anybody tells you, it's as good as bad, as easy or as hard as you want to make it.
Yeah.
Do you know, if you want to come out fighting everybody like I did at the start, they'll fight you back.
Yeah.
If you want to get up and do nothing, it'll give you what you deserve. If you want to put your head down and work hard, it'll give you what you deserve.
Yeah.
I'd say it's no more different than the Premier League or anything like that. It has its great points and it has its bad points.
Yeah.
The industry, listen, I would say, reading between the lines, you're coming at me, did I feel an insider or an outsider? I've always felt an outsider in the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would blame... I would hold... Now, this can sound chippy, and I don't want it to sound chippy, because my daughter's born into the sport now,
yeah.
If that makes sense to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's just me. Yeah. I've always felt outside the family.
Yeah.
But I'm not the most social person, so maybe it's that.
But is that because you felt from the beginning, okay, I didn't come from a horse racing background, so as you say, your daughter is born into it now. So it's different. So Kerry grew up with it. You didn't grow up in a horse racing family. So did you feel that when you come into training that you were being looked at by the others as an outsider? As in,
I felt it, but I would say they didn't give me a second thought.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, yeah. I mean, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not talking about you. I would say, you know, I was letting them live in my head and they were, you know,
yeah.
They were, you know, free rent. I mean,
yeah.
They probably didn't care less about me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And maybe that was it. I was thinking, why don't they love me? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't care less about it. They were paddling their own canoe.
Yeah, exactly.
I was listening to a podcast there recently. Is it Darren? A Darren thing from the RTE, and she was saying her dad gave her a piece of advice, and it shook her to the core. And the piece of advice was when she was moaning about, you know, she says, you know, some people don't care about you.
Yeah,
they have their own lives to worry about. Yeah. And you know something? That's so true.
Mm. Oh, it is.
It sounds harsh. Like, as much and all as you want to be nice to somebody, but you've your own life to live. So
yeah,
what I'm doing doesn't bother you.
Yeah,
it might bother you for 10 seconds.
Yeah,
but it doesn't affect you. You know what I'm saying?
I do, absolutely.
But like, you're running around your own little world worrying, why aren't people loving me? Why aren't they doing that? They don't give a crap about you.
Yeah.
They have their own worries.
In horse racing in Ireland, like, you know, it's changed in so many ways in over the years and so on. But is there, do you feel that there is that, you know, how would you say, they call it sport of kings. And, you know, is there that, you know, we're up here and you're down there? Or are those levels, are they changing? You know, because it's become very popular. You'll see even younger people now going to horse racing. But is there more that the industry could do?
Yeah, they need to get rid of that misnomer, sport of kings, because it's not
yeah
a sport of kings anymore. That goes back to the dark ages.
Dark ages, yeah.
Life's not about that anymore.
No, but it like it's always been associated as being.
Yeah, but like the PR people need to try and change that because yeah. You've just said to me it's become very popular. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we're at the lowest ebb we've ever been at in popularity stakes.
Okay.
I mean, the problem was our industry always thought it was popular, but it's not. I mean, I don't know where the next kids are coming from to come into the industry, to yeah. work in the industry. I don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
It's not about wages, et cetera, like that. The sport of kings is such a huge misnomer. Like, I mean, England, Great Britain and Ireland are the top of the world at this sport, but they're the worst in the world on the finances of it.
Okay.
Like, they've been left so behind by Hong Kong, Australia, Japan, even America. Like, we're in the dark ages, even France. We're in the dark ages compared to these guys.
In terms of investment
and
in
prize
sport.
Money. Like, I
prize
mean,
money, yeah.
Oh, mother of God. Like, the hundreds of millions that these, you know, that has been spent in their industries,
yeah.
but going back into their industries.
Yeah.
Where it's leaking from our industry and it's not coming back.
Mm.
Like I read somewhere, and again, I haven't got the facts in front of me, but there's some CEO in Britain of a bet firm. And I can't give you the name of the bet firm because I called the wrong one. And
yeah.
I think her tax bill was 590 million.
I think I know the one you're talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
Think that.
Yeah.
That's her tax bill.
Extraordinary.
And we're moaning about the government giving our industry 16 million.
Yeah.
What are these people taking out of our, you know?
Yeah. Where do you stand on the betting industry as a whole anyway?
It's a necessary evil. Like, like racing's about betting. But betting, to me, is as bad for the human as drinking is, as smoking is, as drugs are.
It is a drug.
It is a drug.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to embrace it because it's funding us. It doesn't wash well with me.
Yeah.
You know, we stopped advertising drink. We stopped advertising cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know?
And yes, you see nearly every football game, every sporting occasion on the television.
This, bet Paddy Power,
yeah.
that, this, that, the other.
Yeah.
Now, take them away, how are we going to get funded? I
yeah.
understand that.
I know.
But if we're able to it's like, you know, we need a magic wand. We need somebody to come in who come up with that amazing idea, and all that money that we're generating, just keep it internally.
Yeah.
Because it would benefit so, like Hong Kong, I know, gives so many millions per meeting to charities.
Yeah.
Because they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, like, so? Oh, anyway.
So what do you say to people when they ask you for a tip? Do you get asked on the, on if you're on
hundreds
the...
Hundreds, and I don't stand up on a canoe.
I like it. Tell me about a typical day then in the yard. What's...
Groundhog Day. My wife calls it Groundhog Day. I rise at 5, I go down, feed the horses... You hear the little monkey coming in the door. I come up here. I'm up here by 6 o'clock doing the board, which is organising the riders for the morning. I'll have a coffee while I'm doing that. At 6:30, I'll turn on my headspace and I'll do 10 minutes meditation. There's people that start drifting in around 7 o'clock. First horses in the arena for 7:30. We'll have 6 lots a day. I'll watch all of them. We'll stop for tea at 9:30 to 10. I'm finished last lot 11:30, 12 o'clock, give or take, depending on the busyness that what we're doing. people had got on about their jobs then around the yard. That's lunchtime. I always have a snooze around 12:31. I'm in the gym for about 2:30. Messing around the yard, walking around, bring the dogs for a walk, and chilling, watching racing. And all over again the next day.
Groundhog Day.
And that suits me, and it drives my wife bananas.
And you haven't been outside of the place since COVID?
Give or take, yeah.
And I'd say you're enjoying it.
I love it. I mean, listen, it's I'm being flippant, but I'm outside here all the time. I don't have many staff around me. It's not as if I'm reclusive.
Yeah.
I'm busy. And then I'm busy watching, right? You know, your life, my life really hasn't changed. And I'm not ashamed to say that. The life hasn't really changed. Yeah. The race went ahead. I can go racing if I want. I don't choose to go racing because I don't need to go racing.
Yeah.
There's no owners there.
Yeah.
I don't need to be going racing, but, you know,
yeah,
just for perception's sake.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't work with me.
And listen, if you weren't a trainer, what do you think you would have been? Or what would you have likened to be?
Give or take, I mean, I would have to have done something with sport, and I would say a journalist of some description in the media, something to do with sport. The idea is sitting there talking about sport very much interests me, you know. Okay. Yeah. You know, if I was going anywhere on a drive, it'd be Talk Sport I'd be listening to, or I love interviews with sporting people.
Yeah.
You know, they interest me. And
across the board,
yeah. With very few exceptions, as long as the sport interests me, I've not big interest in boxing or things like that,
but
you know, I love golf without watch, you know, I watch the big ones, but I'm not hooked on it.
Yeah.
I used to play golf, don't anymore. You know, racing, I fall in and out of love with racing all the time, which is, I suppose, is understandable.
Yeah.
You know, it's your life. I love Premier League.
In terms of social media, and before we start recording, you mentioned about Twitter, you gave it up. What were the reasons behind that? Because there was a time when every day you would tweet, and there'd be fun between you and certain other trainers, etc. Why did you give up social media?
Because I got to understand it as a dark force.
Yeah.
And not that I was abused or anything like that, but I don't like a medium where you can be abused, attacked, whatever, vilified by somebody with no name.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Faceless people.
No, if you have something to say it to me. And if I have something to say, I'll say it to you.
Yeah.
But don't come at me when I don't know who you are without, you know, with a bag over your head. I think that's wrong, and I think that's dangerous. And I think I found myself going down rabbit holes with Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like everything else, if it starts taking over your life, walk the hell away.
So you found you were getting kind of angry with certain things?
Oh, no question. It?
Yeah.
No question. Yeah. You know, very much so. And I used to say to myself, well, you know, don't read it. You know, so the only way I couldn't get involved with that is if I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah.
It's a little bit putting your head in the sand, but...
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I got up one morning. It was during Cheltenham week last year, and I didn't agree that they should have raced in Cheltenham.
Mm.
And I could see what was coming. Being clever, I could just see what was coming. And the anger and on it, I went, oh my God.
Mm.
Like, it was vilified. Like, Gordon Elliott thing was shocking.
Yeah.
And I thought, my God almighty. And I just said to Lynn, I'm out of here. I can't do this because it's affecting me. It's affecting me.
Mm.
And if I don't know about it, it's not going to affect me. So I didn't delete because Geraldine's Racing had to do with what the office were doing.
You just stopped tweeting.
I stopped. Yeah. I walked away from it.
Yeah.
And I deleted it off my phone.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I didn't have any, what's the word?
Regret.
Not regret.
Well,
what's the word? Shaky moment. Like, oh, I need
it. Yeah, you know, I need it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I walked away, and it's like the drink. When I said I'm off, I'm gone. Boom.
Yeah.
I was away, and I stopped. And I'm better for it.
You don't drink?
No.
At all?
No.
But did and gave it up?
Yeah.
Many years ago?
2007.
The first year of that, how did you feel? Were you a big drinker? Like
No. But I wasn't a good drinker. Awkward.
Okay.
Ireland's a place.
Yeah.
That's very awkward to give up drink.
Of course it is.
Why are you having I'll a have lemonade? A drink. I'll have a Coke. I'll buy you a proper drink. I'm not buying you that rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have a shandy.
Mm.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
You'll have a pint of milk.
But they're getting better. Ireland's got much better at that.
Yeah. What's important to you in life?
And I'm not going to sound corny, but my family is.
Yeah.
And my dogs.
Yeah.
And your health, if this hasn't taught us.
Yeah.
That your health's your wealth, my Jesus. My biggest fear has been, I had a friend, John Short, died in 2017. And I spent a lot of time with him in the hospital and that he had cancer. And I didn't like what it did to him.
Yeah.
And that would scare the Jesus out of me to be stuck in a ward. And I know there's hundreds of people every day doing it. That would scare the life out of me to have your freedom taken away by bad health. That would scare the life. My biggest fear is to be unhealthy in my old age and not be capable of looking after myself.
Yeah.
That would scare the life out of me.
Yeah. Where do you stand on politics?
Jesus, they annoy me. What's the word? You know when you're asexual when it, on the other front? I'm that way with politics. Do you know something? They just bore me.
Yeah.
I think the guys...
Did he annoy you?
Pardon? Oh, Jesus, yeah. If you let them annoy you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I thought that we're playing a blinder at the start of COVID. And then they switched and I'm thinking, why did you switch? Just to appease one guy. And now I think they're playing games with it. And I think politics has, like, this has got, it drives people mad, but we need a dictator type of individual to come in and just give it a shake and say, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of what the press are saying about me, blah, blah, blah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Instead of this pansy.
But they're playing to the press.
Playing. And being dictated to by the press and dictated to by popularity and. Just, if you have a job to do, do it. And stop worrying about who you're offending or... Do you know, just, if you have to do a job and it's a dirty job, do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's easy for me to say.
Yeah.
But anybody worth their salt wouldn't get into politics. Mm-hmm. Why would they?
Jerry, you're, in your game, obviously, the goal is winning. And when you go to a track, you want to win. How do you handle losing?
You get used to it. You very much get used to it. I'd say I handle it well now. I mean, does that make you a bad competitor? You have to handle it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
if you're better at it now?
Oh, much better.
Yeah, so you were bad at the beginning.
Yeah, because you didn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's a numbers game and you get your numbers. If you're good at what you do, you'll consistently do it. But you know, like if you're working on a 20%, which is a good strike rate in racing, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about how many losers you have. So you better get bloody used to it.
You better get used to it, yeah.
You know, it's not nice.
On the other hand, how do you handle criticism?
Not great. No. Does anybody handle criticism good? You know, you want to be loved. You want people to like you. Handle criticism? No. No. Come out fighting with your chest out, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think I'm one of those people. Like, if I, are you allowed to swear in this podcast? No.
Swear away.
If I fuck up, I'd like to think I put my hand up in the air and go,
yeah.
And that's the way I want to treat people. And I'd like that.
It's honesty, really.
I'd say I'm my own biggest critic.
Yeah.
But, no, I wouldn't say I handle criticism great. Does anybody like being told they're ugly? Huh?
I get it all the time, so I'm kind of used to it.
You think we'd want to get used to it,
What's the most surprising thing about success?
Surprise? What a question. What's the most surprising thing about success? That it's so infrequent.
Well, like, you're now a double classic winning trainer. I'm right saying that.
That feels great.
Yeah.
Now, you said it to me now, that feels great, but yeah, that's great.
You know, so for all those years, that had to be the...
Do you know, I haven't stopped to think about that.
The goal.
In the year. Of course it was a goal. And, yeah, that feels great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I can appreciate that. I mean, Jesus, if I can't appreciate that. I didn't go out celebrating or anything like that because you couldn't or wouldn't. Would I have even in other times? I don't know. I'd probably owe the staff a party.
Yeah.
But... do you know what it is? It makes your staff feel proud with you. You know, you can stand out there and we can hold our head up as a team and say, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
And that's nice. That's nice because others haven't.
Did you get a lot of goodwill?
Oh, yes. Amazing goodwill. Goodwill, yeah. Absolutely. That was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
For a guy who always think he's not... Yeah, we got huge goodwill, yeah. Yeah, and... Like, it was hard, like, the phone hopped and letters, lovely letters came in and that. And it was a horrible, it was a different time because it was empty, you know, but
yeah.
We did, you know, it was grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can sit, I can, you know, it's a warm glow that I would say will stay with me forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's the surprising thing about success.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you do take your day-to-day winners for granted because that's your job.
Yeah.
But yeah, classics, yeah. Like if I stop now, I've trained two classic winners, so
yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Did you ride in the national? I did, yeah. What do you do? I'm a trainer. Do you ever train a classic winner? Yeah, actually I did. So happy days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that answers your question.
Well, I did say classic winning trainer. So Jerry, look, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me. And may I wish you and all the crew here at Glen Burnie Stables the very best of luck for the future and hopefully you have more classic wins.
Thanks, Kevin. That flew.
Did. Time flies when you're having fun.
I really enjoyed that chat with Ger Lyons and I hope you did too. I'd like to thank Ger and all his lovely staff at the Glen Burnie Stables for having me.
You can contact the podcast on IrelandTalksPodcast@AOL.com. Find Ireland Talks Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.